It's Boss Barrel Radio, episode 101. I am Griffin Hoffman, and with me this week is Andy Poppin.
Hello, everybody.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing well.
Missed you last week.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I couldn't make it.
That's okay. It happens, you know.
The show still goes on.
I completely bailed.
Ryan Fielder, how you doing?
I'm great. How you doing?
Good. Very good. And Matt Lake?
Hi.
Hey. How's everybody doing? Unanimous? Everyone's
good.
Good. Okay. Andy, you just said you got Gamefly. How's that going for you? You appreciating that service?
Well, yeah, comparatively. The alternative was Redbox, and I did that like for two games and ended up spending $50 one time and $25 for another for the other game, and that's just not... Whereas I can spend
$50. So you actually returned them.
Yes, I did.
See, which I get absurd. To a certain like, point, and I'm just like, fuck it, I'll just buy it, you know?
Yeah, I don't have money. I mean, like...
I'm not saying I have money
at
either.
At that point, it was kind of on principle. It was just like, I don't really want Assassin's Creed 3. I'm done. I got it.
So you paid $40 or whatever.
Like 50 bucks, which was stupid, but I'm fine with it.
Not pay for it.
You just didn't want to. You're like, get this crap out of my hands. I don't even want to have the shame of owning it.
I sell all my Assassin's Creed games once I'm done with them. Well, this is actually the first one I haven't bought and then sold.
But you did actually buy this one, and you weren't able to sell it.
No, he didn't actually buy it. I mean, 50 bucks, almost bought it.
Oh, yeah.
$50 bought that used copy, really.
You got a Black Friday deal on your...
anyway, so I'm not doing that stupid stuff anymore. I'm paying my $15 and getting... Well, actually, the first month is free, folks. So that's what I'm doing.
Yep.
Griffin has a good point in that you should probably... I should probably set it up so that I have two coming at the same time. So
what's the difference, one versus two discs?
Two is like $25 a month, and one is $15.
Yeah.
Yep. So the 15 is like a direct replacement of canceling my WoW account.
So how long was your WoW account running?
I just reactivated it for Bendaria.
Okay.
And so it was like 2 months.
Okay.
And I didn't. I played a little bit. I got out of the starting zone, and then it was like,
The preview for that game makes me want to play it.
That should not make you want to play a World of Warcraft game. Cause
I know. I've never wanted to do before, and I know I would like them if I do play them, but the preview for that game actually made me want to play that game.
Made me just want to watch Kung Fu Panda, because that was a better movie.
I've seen that, too, and that's what I thought. I thought it was Kung Fu Panda 3 coming out when I first saw it.
Well, they really stepped up the production value.
Skadoosh. So, you're going to Gamefly, and you're doing the one game. I suggest you do two, because... You know, it's so much more convenient with balancing your queue and having something to play always. But it is also nice because you get $5 every couple months to use towards, like, if you want to keep a game.
Really? So is that a thing that only happens with the two-disc plan? Or is it just... Okay, well, that's good.
You can still keep stuff. I don't know if you get $5.
Is it, it's not every month, is it?
Can you accumulate that and save it in the bank?
No. I think it's like every 6 months or 3 months, you'll get a new $5 that you can use to purchase on purchases. And you also get a flat percentage off. So I think with one game out, you get 5%. Two, you get 10. So, you know, like when I bought Halo, it ended up being $40 after using my discount and using my $5.
So why aren't they giving us money? Because we're totally... we're talking them up. Do the Gamefly thing, folks.
I don't know why I'm not doing this yet.
You should. There's absolutely no reason why you shouldn't.
I know.
It is much more fiscally responsible, especially for us, because we play like all the time.
Yeah, give it some time. You'll figure out the rockiness of Gamefly living here in the Midwest, where it takes about a week for it to process.
Like, it told me it was shipped. I bought it, what, was like Wednesday of last week? I signed up, and I got Portal 2 today.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
So that's where two discs.
So that's why you need two discs.
Real handy.
So you have one that's always in transit, and you have one at your place.
This is also partly why I never put old games on my queue. The only things that are in my queues are games that haven't come out yet. So the nice thing that that Gamefly does is they'll send me a message on in my email on like Sunday night or Monday that's like, hey, your this game that you have is ready to be shipped. It's on the way. Mm-hmm. So like on Monday morning, I got a message that said Far Cry 3 has been sent to you. Mm-hmm. So I'll be getting it tomorrow, well, Wednesday in the mail. Otherwise, if you don't have like a current or a game that isn't out yet, they'll say like, okay, we've set it up to go to you, but then it ends up taking like a week.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. And then you can also guarantee that nobody else has touched that disc and it's in perfect shape if you want to keep it. So it's basically like buying it new. Send you the boxes after you purchase it.
It's nicer than the Redbox way.
Yes.
The only thing is, though, I feel if I get that, it's going to be just like Redbox, and I am going to buy every game that gets sent my way.
Well, that's a personal problem.
I'm not saying it's not. But that's why I'm staying away from it at the moment.
But you don't need to buy it. Like, there's no penalty to keeping a game for a long time.
Okay.
Other than not getting more games.
Yeah. And then you also think of it this way. Like, you're like, if you have one game out for the course of, what, 6 months, that's the price of a new game.
Okay, that's smart. That's good. Okay, I'm probably gonna do this in the next week. Now I think you finally sold me.
You it's should. So it's good.
Yeah, Matt. when I have my like month long break, I'm gonna sign up for GameFly because I have a bunch of games.
Sign up for
up.
Three games out of GameFly.
No,
do
no,
it.
No. I
go
still
big.
Have other games to play.
Just come in like bleary eyed, just bloodshot.
Just make.
I've been playing video games for like 24 hours straight.
Just make three new email accounts and have 3 month-long things.
You could be the next Korean guy to die playing a video game.
There was a that I saw that it was in the news. Some Russian dude spent like 74 hours straight playing Black Ops.
Oh my god!
I think it was longer than that. Even,
but it was some bullshit Guinness record where if you spend an hour, you can bank 15 minutes of break or 10 minutes of break.
What?
So he ended up playing for 24 hours so he could sleep for like 3 hours. And
yeah, we talked about that last week.
That's lame.
Okay.
But we didn't talk about him dying.
He didn't die.
You should you should have to have a toilet. Well, you should have a TV. You
or
should
a
be
bed
playing
pen.
On the toilet like this.
It should be like the Wii U.
Yeah.
So or just wearing a
which,
diaper.
Did you know
that's
that you actually
where
can
I'd
do
go.
That, which is kind of exciting. If your toilet is like one wall away from your Wii U, it works.
Well, depending on the game you play.
Yes.
My toilet's it's pretty much always next to my Wii. That's where I put my Wii.
Usually my Wii is above my toilet.
That's, you got a problem.
We're talking about video games.
You got a...
What?
You got an aim
Since
issue.
When did this become a video game podcast?
Why are we, what's going on?
So, guys, talking about video games, Andy, you got Gamefly, so you're playing something, Portal 2, you said?
Yeah, I'm playing Portal 2 for, you know, just one I didn't get around to, but didn't really want to buy. I don't know why I didn't, because it's a really good game.
Sure.
And totally replayable, and, like, the multiplayer and then the challenges, it's there's a lot to get through.
Yeah, I haven't touched it since I beat it.
Yeah. There's lots more, but that's the thing. Like, Portal 1 was like that. You beat it, I beat it, and then... There's like tons more that you can do.
I guess I went back for a couple levels just for trophy hunting crap.
Yeah.
And I played a little multiplayer just to see what it was like.
I thought you played all the multiplayer levels.
Not me.
No?
I'm interested in the co-op. I need to find somebody to play with me.
Yeah. I do, but I got a PS3.
That sounds like a personal problem.
So you're liking that Portal 2?
So far, I played it for like 2 hours before I got here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Taking you places you never expected.
Oh yeah. It's a really funny game. I've always liked that.
Yeah.
That Valve humor.
Definitely.
They are good at that.
Eric Wolplar earning his keep over there. Is that all you've been playing?
Pretty much.
Okay. Ryan, you got anything?
I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Well, just cut in.
I have been playing Shut Up and Jam.
Oh, you've been playing it?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. All right.
Excuse me, Shut Up and Jam, Gatem.
You know, the Chef Boyardee presents Barkley, Shut Up and Jam, Guy Den, the Hoops Barkley Saga, Part 1?
Part 1.
Yeah, okay. Yep. That's the full name.
Have you played it at all?
I've been playing it for about 6 hours.
It's really funny. Yeah.
I just got to the Spalding Factory.
What is it?
It's a legitimate, like, Final Fantasy RPG, a Final Fantasy style, but the combat's more like Mario RPG. but it's just like really absurdist humor, just banking on these gaming tropes, and it's a silly video game made by people who like video games.
Like a handheld iPhone game?
No, it's a computer game for free, and mm-hmm. just in the last week, it was announced that it's been ported to Mac.
So the story is you're Charles Barkley. I think the year is 2153.
Sure.
Like, and they don't ever explain how Charles Barkley has lived for like 200 years. But he has this kid, and B-ball has been made illegal
because of
Charles Barkley's chaos dunk
and the cyber apocalypse
that destroyed like an entire stadium of people.
10 million people die.
And come down to that,
Michael Jordan has become an inspector and like sold out, and so he's the bad guy.
Yeah, he's like the evil
Inspector Jordan.
Yeah, who's enforcing the no b-ball tolerance rules.
It's really funny.
Yeah,
it is, and it's a full fledged game that actually is really like it's not all repetitive. They're different levels are different things. I mean, it's really pretty well thought out and fun. And if you like how silly those things are.
Part of what makes the humor so much fun, though, is like there's never a point when a character looks at the screen and winks. Like
right.
Everything is so stupidly absurd all the way through, and everybody just gung-ho about it.
Yeah. Which is totally like, I mean, JRPGs are like that.
Yeah. It is a love letter to JRPGs done by a bunch of like people who just like games. And you know, it looks like you can see like the sprites and some of the background things are just ripped out of other 16-bit games.
There and then there's oh yeah, shit. There's a level that you'll get to where mm-hmm. you'll run into a series of boss challenges. So you'll beat a boss and then you go through a room and the next boss is there.
Okay,
and each one of them is a different sprite from another game.
Oh nice!
They even sprited Master Chief. Master Chief is one of the he's not Master Chief. He's just like some zombie guy, but yeah. It's totally Master Chief's sprite.
Yeah.
There's a zone, an area where everything is manipulated like a text-based game.
Oh.
So it's still graphically the same, but then when you click to interact with something, it says, "Do you want to pick it up? Do you want to examine? Do you want to take?"
Like Dragon Warrior.
Most of them don't do anything, which is really funny. He's just like, "No, I can't take that. That's a crazy fool. Like, I don't want to carry that shit around."
The combat though is definitely like JRPG. Like, you run into something, you get in the fight. Dudes stand next to each other and do attacks. But Andy, as he described it, he said it's like Mario RPG. It's totally that. Like, each one of your character's attacks has something that is unique to how it's performed. So like Barkley, all of his attacks are like ripped out of old basketball games. So like you have a jump shot that you do, so you press up on your arrow keys and Barkley he jumps up in the air and you let go of the up button, and that's when he shoots his free throw. And the higher you're at the pinnacle of the jump, the more damage it does when you let go. Just like he'll have like chest pass or a pass, and there's a meter that's bouncing back and forth really quick, and you got to time it right at the right spot to get like 100% accuracy and extra damage. So every one of the characters has something that's unique to them.
Who are some of the other characters?
They're just
I don't know. Oh, if we've been on.
LeBron James's great grandson,
his octoroon grandson,
is one of the
Baltheus James. There's Charles Barkley's son,
Hoops.
Yep. Hoops, yeah.
Hoops Barkley. Hoops Barkley.
Yeah. Yep.
And this character called the Cyber Dwarf, whose skin is made out of basketball or b-balls.
Yeah.
Oh.
So
it's pretty funny.
Fun.
Everything is pretty intensely serious, but so stupid that it's fun. And
yeah. And it has absolutely as deep a story as a JRPG would
but
have. And
this is the part that I forgot, is it's a direct sequel to Space Jam.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
What?
So Space Jam is referenced. The Space Jam ball is a plot. Is a MacGuffin. Like
it's not just a MacGuffin. Like it is a major plot point. Mm-hmm. It is what keeps them going through the entire game.
The magic ball from Space Jam that absorbs people's talent.
They're not even saying like they're not even trying to turn the old Disney movie into something else. They're talking about like, oh yeah, when we teamed up with the Looney Tunes.
I'm gonna have to play that.
If you can get it on a PC, it's free, or on Mac, it's free. And the reason
it'll probably be ported to iPhone soon enough.
I doubt it.
No,
these are just some dudes.
It's just some guys. I'm actually really impressed with how much these like two dudes have done on their own. I mean, it was made in RPG Maker, I think. Uh-huh.
Or Game Maker, I think is what they said. And you can go to Kickstarter and support their new project, which is, I don't even want to say the full name because it's crazy. It's like, but it's Barkley 2. The Hoops Barkley Saga Part 2, which they're going to be making it into like an action RPG with point and click shooting. So looks pretty good. Looks pretty good already.
Yeah, no, I'm enjoying it. I'm actually playing it at work. So, nobody from work remember that I said that.
Okay. By work, you mean home.
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct.
Man, I should see if I can... I wish... See, that's when I'm like, God damn, like, I wish that everything was Steam and I could just cloud my save and pull it off my Mac and
that's
plop
the thing.
It down
I'm so deep into it now that I can't take it home.
I know. I mean, and it's plus it sucks as a Mac. Like, I can't even, like, dig out the save file out of it somehow and plop it on something.
I wonder if you could just put it on a flash drive. I bet maybe I could.
If you figure it out, let me know. I'd like to be able to transport my game
Your
with
Hoops
me.
Your Barkley saga?
Yeah.
Charles Barkley's Shut Up and Jam. Gaiden.
I'm glad you're liking it, Andy.
It's really fun.
I've been dying for years to play this game, but I just don't have a PC, and finally it came out on Mac, and... You know, it's from what I've read the Wikipedia page over and over and over and over and over again, and I'm just like, oh my god, I want to play this game so bad. And the save points are freaking great too. Every time you go to a save point, this save point just berates you with this diatribe of like, you know, what could be a college level thesis on Japanese video game design.
And it's like four or five full, you know, dialogue boxes of just like spewing video game information. But first of all, all the save points are shaped like a gas station pump. It's like no reason. Like
also,
they always like move like back.
That game's pretty good, I will tell you.
All right, so that's the other thing I've been playing.
Good.
Are you adding that to your list, Matt?
I think that's a game I'd rather watch somebody play than actually play it.
Here's what I also realized too is it's not that bad of like a raw JRPG. Like you're not grinding. Actually, you can't, as far as I've found.
Yeah, there's not that bad guys.
It's actually you're pretty much moving pretty directly forward the entire time. So if you're thinking of like, oh, I it's just gonna take forever. Like it might take a while, but it's not because it's repetitive. Was that change your opinion? Or?
I'm just hoping there's a lot of basketball humor in it. It sounds like there is.
Because
I know a lot about basketball.
Then you will probably enjoy this a lot more than I will.
I
just remembered, I just encountered this part the other day where it was in that like text-based section where I examined a clock and it says, the clock has stopped at 12:32. For whatever reason, I feel like I should write this down. And then, like, right next to it is the thing that you need. Like, you don't need to write it down at all. Like, you remember it. But
of course.
But I did, because I was like, shit, I probably should.
I like one of the first areas you go to is, like, the Tomb of the B-Ballers, and you're going to all these different sarcophagi of these basketball legends, and Charles Barkley has some. He's like, oh, this sarcophagus stands 6'3" tall, and by the way that its head is positioned, this must belong to the late Patrick Ewing. The other little great little thing, or little tidbit of humor in there, is all the item descriptions, which could be like one of my favorite things in video games ever, is item descriptions. And I just got something like a power wrist guard bracelet, and it says like 50% neoprene and 50% Gore-Tex, and both of those words have the TM, and it's like, oh my god, that's so garbage 90s nonsense marketing. We're like, this jacket's made of Gore-Tex. That means it's like Teflon with bulletproof material, so so the cold just slips off it.
Or it's really well executed.
Did you find the Gatorade gum?
No.
Text description is... becomes rock solid upon exposure to oxygen. Which, if you've ever had Gatorade gum, you're like, oh, this is unchewable. This is like the Bazooka Joe that you got at the State Fair Parade.
That's really funny.
So, you guys play anything? Matt?
No.
No.
Not since last time.
No. Ryan?
Ryan?
Halo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey.
Did me some Halo.
That How are you liking was, that game?
Well, I played it completely. Only
like
single
within
player.
The first night, based
two,
on your
two
text.
Nights.
Yeah, okay.
2 nights. Yeah, I played that. I didn't go for legendary. I was just getting the story in. And
so what's that, heroic?
No, just normal, I think.
Okay, yeah.
Not usually, like, it was really quick and easy compared to my normal Halo playthroughs, but I just wanted to get it done because you're letting me borrow
right.
it. And... impressed. Wow, yeah. A lot better than I thought it would be. I know we've already talked about this in previous podcasts, but game's a lot better than I gave it a chance for.
Sure.
Like, there was a lot more characterization of Master Chief and Cortana. Like, made you keep wanting to play the game.
Totally.
Like, and just like the actual playing, it was still Halo, but the new guns they introduced were really fun to use.
Yeah. Just enough to keep it fresh, kind of.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, I'll still go get the DMR because I know how that works. But then when I run out of bullets, I'll go grab this new, like...
whatever gun. Yeah. Yeah.
Bouncy shotgun and shoot that around.
Every single weapon, or every single... So there's the Covenant, there's, you know, the humans, and... Prometheans. And if you notice, they all have the same weapon, but it's just a different style.
Right.
And
you've got, like, everybody has mid-range single-shot rifle.
Yeah.
But what
the Prometheans
does everybody
look
have?
Really badass when you reload them or pick them up or anything. It's like a bunch of just stuff that hovers together and then goes apart and then hovers back together.
Like Perfect Dark.
Like Transformers.
Ah.
Yeah. Ah, that's good, yeah. But the story got, like, more than any other Halo game has really got me, like, interested.
Mm-hmm.
Like, usually I'm just playing a Halo game because, like, just go, beat it, whatever. And, like, I was actually interested in the story, the way they told it.
Did you run into that weird little snag, like, in the first after the first little bit when you meet the Didact? Everybody's like, oh, there goes the Didact! And you're like, how do you guys know who he is?
I was trying to figure out, like, should I know who that guy is? Or what?
And you've played all the Halo games, so you're like, you didn't know him either.
Yeah.
That's good.
Nope.
Okay.
Everybody knew that guy.
Yeah.
And who
the
was...
old Didact.
No, who was the, not the Didact,
the
person
books.
Originally facing the Didact?
Librarian?
The librarian, yes. And she's
creative.
Dead, but still gives you some, like, super power that
super
lets
library
you live.
Card.
Yeah. Yep.
You can check out
zero late fees.
Forever.
The Boolean operator.
The Dewey Decimal Destruction.
But, she gives you these genes that makes you immune to the Didact for some reason.
She gives you new jeans.
Pants. Levi's jeans.
Yeah. And then you are the only hope for humanity.
As if
again.
You weren't already. Like, come on.
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
but
I single-handedly save the world exclusively. Nobody else does. Just me.
Over and over and over again.
Constantly.
That's exactly the feeling I was getting. Like, during this game, like, how many times have I done this, and how many
why
more?
Why are there other
only
Marines? Because...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, now, Ryan, you didn't play the Spartan Ops, but definitely in the greater Halo 4 lore, there are more Spartans that are operating now, and doing getting dirt done. Not like Master Chief, but like they have stories and they're doing things. But
what do you think their names are?
Majestic is their tag, I think.
Majestic. So it's like Majestic Clan guy or like.
I think they might actually have names. Yeah.
Like Master Chief, whoever like came Bill. Up with that name. Oh, they have just regular old names.
Yeah. Well, I mean, John 117 is Master Chief's name, but.
No, but the one thing about this game that is the relationship between Master Chief and Cortana. Mm-hmm. And that's what, like, made me want to keep playing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because Cortana is going through, what is it?
Rampancy.
Yes, rampancy, which after. Yeah. After 7 years, every AI goes through rampancy.
Or menopause. Like, I don't know. How old is she?
She's eight.
Eight. Ah. So, yeah. Robot menopause.
Robot menopause.
Yep. For some reason, she's smarter than all the other AIs and can hold off.
It's because she's... you know what? Now that you think about it, robot menopause could be the best description of that thing ever because she is part organic, too.
Yeah. Mm.
So...
Hot flashes.
Yeah.
Okay. At the end of the game, when... I don't want to give anything away, but like we, you know, she's multiplying.
But I'm gonna do it right now.
multiplying, huh? Okay.
And somehow she becomes physical in the human realm.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I was like, what? Why? How? What? I didn't get that.
Hey, fucking, I don't know.
You didn't get that? No.
Nope.
Nope. There's no explanation needed. It happens.
I hear that, oh, this game is so great, and the story makes me want to play, but things you are telling me make it just sound dumber and dumber.
The thing... Okay, let me defend it here. It's because it's... What you've already... Halo has already done a really good job of fleshing out every little corner of their universe and saying, like, oh, the ships fly because they have this type of engine which mm-hmm. operates on this sort of particle, and the Master Chief's armor works like this because it, you know, uses... Okay, so they go into such technical detail for everything. When there's not an immediate explanation as to why this is happening, it sticks out like a sore thumb. So when Ryan's saying, like, well, and Cortana does this weird thing, like, how come she does it? And my reaction is, I don't fucking know. It's because also... I don't know a lot about the Halo universe, so I'm sure somewhere this is described by something.
I feel like that's a recurring theme in the Halo games, is that Cortana do whatever the fuck she want. Like, basically...
Cortana is not my baby.
Yeah, because you're right. Everything else is, like, super sciencey and technical, but Cortana just breaks all the rules.
That's a good point.
That is a recurring... Like, that happened in Halo 2.
Yeah. And it happens throughout this game. She should already be a rampant AI and decommissioned, and she is still going somehow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they set themselves or they give themselves an out by saying she's the first and only AI that is like using human
semi
pieces. So she can break the rules in certain ways, and I'm sure that's what has something to do with it, with her becoming fully manifest. The thing that I don't understand is the part after that when it's like, I'm not gonna say what happened, but what happens is just like, oh, so this is completely nonsense right now. Like, 100% nonsense.
They don't make love, do they?
No, but it reminds me a lot of Assassin's Creed, since Hunter's been playing 3 now, and I was thinking about it, and you know when, in the previous games, when, like, Ezio... or Altair would, like, stab a guy, and then it would flash into the white zone, and then he'd be, like, crouching next to them, listening to them talk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So, you know, in 3, like, you'll shoot a dude, and he'll be laying on the ground, like, clutching his gaping chest crevice, and Connor just, like, talks to him and then walks away.
Yeah.
Like, before, I would justify myself to myself that situation was, like, you, like, the assassin stabbed him, and then they were right up close.
Right, and
that, and like,
he whispered his last words.
Yeah, and then those last words would be, like, extrapolated into something bigger and more meaningful. And, and like, it, you know, willful suspension of disbelief for that moment to make it more interesting. But with John, or with Connor, and he just, like, fucking shoots a guy. Yeah,
they're just doing it because it's a thing they've done.
Yeah.
But now it's a thing that they have to do forever.
So, yeah, he just has this conversation with this dying person who's, like, 15 feet away from him.
Yeah. the next one's going to have sniper rifles, and you're going to be hitting a guy from like half a mile away.
Can you just be the bullet talking to the guy as it's like whizzing towards him?
It should be like a Mario bullet, like a
a big fat bullet, Bonsai Bill shooting out.
No, now I know what part you're talking about. And like, yeah, what that I was also thinking that I forgot about that part, you know, main part of the game. But yeah, where are they? And what's going on there?
I don't know. I'm totally fine with the answer just being space magic. You know, it's freaking.
That's totally what it is. Cortana is techno space magic.
Yeah, I love it. I'm fine with techno space magic. If that's what Halo needs to do to maintain its fiction, then so be it. I'm okay with that.
When that was going on, I was thinking, okay, why you're ending this so quickly?
Yeah, in fact, I would prefer to have that than it to be some like midichlorian bullshit. Of like, let me give you the fake science explanation.
Right. There are these things in your blood that you never see them, but they're
there. They've been dead the entire time. Let's just meet in the church.
They're like a life force organism.
The one disappointment that the game gave me at the end of that, this segment we're talking about, is just cut off completely.
Oh, that was so good. That was the best, though. That like, just dead cold ending there. Ugh.
You liked it?
Oh, I loved it. It made me so excited it makes me so excited to play the next game.
Yeah. Not me. I was like, why did you not stay for a bit? I
want to play as Rogue Master Chief.
That is true. But Ronan. He's not Rogue completely, because the scene after the credits.
I know. But what I'm saying is, like, after that, I want to see if Master Chief just icing everybody.
I just got
like
this.
Humans included. Before. Like, people who are part of the military, like, Chief just goes bonkers. Bananas. He's gone bananas.
Like Splinter Cell. Like,
yeah, not a rogue agent.
Right.
Yeah.
How dare you call me bananas? I just got to that.
Oh, yeah.
Forgot about that. Yeah.
He's bananas.
But so thank you for letting me borrow that game. Enjoyed playing it.
Yeah. Do you don't have it here with you, do you?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to borrow it, Andy? Or?
Yeah, I probably should. Just because it's like, it's not the first, it's not the next in my queue, I don't think. I'm trying to think of what it is. I don't know.
Beat it in 2 days.
Okay. Like, yeah. So let's knock it out.
You can, it's about an 8, maybe 10-hour game if you suck at it.
The only time I was not excited playing it was like maybe mission 2 and 3. I was a little bored, and then it picked up, and it kept going.
Uh-huh.
And like even the space flying battles, like the music was so epic that I just kept wanting to play that. Like they have this mission where you're flying around in a, can't remember the name of the ship.
Long sword.
Yeah, long, no.
Sword.
Broadsword.
Sword ship.
It's broadsword, pretty sure. But that mission, like, I was super pumped just playing that thing.
That game does not have music. It has a score. Like, it is a Hollywood-ass soundtrack on that thing.
Yep.
That's a tradition with them, too. I mean, really.
Mm-hmm. You want to know something really weird, too? Hunter was playing Assassin's Creed 3, like I mentioned, and we were sitting on the couch just in the living room, and Jen points out, she's like, doesn't that music that is happening when he's running away from the guards sound almost identical to the opening of Walking Dead, the TV show? And we looked it up, and almost the exact same song, different instrumentation.
Really?
Yeah, kind of startling. Like the Assassin's Creed chase music, plus the the Walking Dead opening song. It's almost the same.
You could be YouTube famous. Yeah, mashup.
Yeah, yeah. I just going to do the double. I don't know what that.
You have to make it a dubstep, though. It has to have a break.
Then I need talent, and I can't do that. I just want to do the. Have you seen that service where you can embed two YouTube videos right next to each other and play simultaneously?
Yeah,
that's what I want. Speaking of Walking Dead, though.
Ooh,
you play some?
I finished it.
Okay. Despite your wanting to. You still finished.
Well, I sat down on Sunday morning and I took the day off from work and decided to just get through the rest of it.
So, can we talk about this game without, like, are you two going to play it at all? Or
nope.
No?
I am not.
Okay, so then we can just...
Let's do it right now, Matt.
Okay, so I don't know, explain your experience. First, explain just, like, did you enjoy it? What you didn't like? Or with these two episodes, I guess you'll say.
Well, I definitely enjoyed the finale. Like, the last 5 minutes of that game was good. Like, how it resonated emotionally and what they did with your character dying and turning and being locked in a room with Clementine and, like, no longer are you the one who's actively, is your character, like, picking stuff up and solving problems. You're instructing this little girl on how to do it while you're... So it's like, you know, the player is changing. In the game who's telling this other player in the game what to do. So kind of an interesting little twist on gameplay actions. And so that was cool. In terms of the moments leading up to that, not really that interesting. Like... The magic of the game worked on me where I thought that all of the things that I've done before had meaning and I was like, all of my choices felt like they had weight. But I also knew the entire time that this game was going in a direction regardless of what was going to happen, no matter what I chose. So, like, there's the scene when Clementine runs away and it's like, oh, here's her hat or something like that. And you go to pick up the hat and... As I am walking to this hat, or as my character's walking to this hat, it's like, okay, you can click on the hat, or you can click on this lump of boxes next to the hat. And I'm like, well, there's a zombie behind the boxes. There's a zombie behind the boxes, and I'm going to click on the hat, and the zombie's going to come get me. So I click on the boxes. And then the zombie jumps out and bites me, and now I'm bit. And now I'm infected with zombie.
You thought clicking on the hat would trigger the boxes.
Yeah, because I was like, there's obviously a zombie. So if I click on the hat, he's not going to see the zombie, and the zombie's going to come out and chomp on him. So I was like, well, I'll click on the boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to try and avoid that. And that didn't work.
And it was not that smart.
So I was still a zombie. So that's just kind of is my overall feeling towards that whole game. Is
Did
like,
you try to go back and see what happens if you click on the hat?
No. You can't really go back. Matt, did you?
I didn't go back, no.
Okay.
What'd you click on?
Probably the hat.
Yeah.
See, that's just my problem with the game.
You don't remember because there's no difference. There's an illusion of choice.
Absolutely, you can choose to take the left route or the right. You know, it's like the Robert Frost poem. You know, the road less traveled is no matter what you choose, you're going to get to the same ending.
Right.
No matter.
They need to know 400 feet down the road.
Yeah. So. You know, the game did a really good job in tricking me into thinking that my choices were meaningful. But, like, again, I don't know what was and what wasn't, but I could definitely see that I wanted to make a choice that wasn't available to avoid it, and I just couldn't.
Yeah.
So
at the end of episode 4, did people come with you to search for Clementine?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, see, when they show you the statistics at the end, they actually tell you, like, it's possible to go alone.
Yeah, yeah. You had an option, too, to just be like, no, I'm going alone.
Which I would be interested to see in episode 5. Like, it maybe not a whole lot would change, but I would be interested just
how
the main character would act. And
it's going to be a completely interesting. New character that you've never played before.
Yeah, maybe.
No, I had that same thought while I was playing it, and it's like every situation you get into, I could see you solving every puzzle and doing everything that's positioned to you regardless of if you're alone or if you are fully armed. You know, no matter what you do, no matter what huge impactful choices you make, it's going to be the same. Like, you'll still have to get the ladder. You're still going to have to, you know, run around and avoid zombies and chop them in the face with an axe. But
did you see the post-credit sequence with Clementine?
Yeah.
Where she sees those two people?
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, maybe if you didn't have people come with you to help find Clementine, maybe you wouldn't understand that. Like, I think it's Amede and his girlfriend walking on it. Because I kept telling them, you're going to take care of Clementine because I'm not going to survive. And
yeah.
I kept thinking it was them. But maybe if nobody came with you, maybe you would have no idea who those people were.
Sure. I was also really annoyed, too, because there was a point in the game where I was like, hey, I need you guys to meet up with me. And Clementine, when I rescue her, meet me at the train tracks, or meet me at the train that we came into town on. And then never when you're with Clementine is there a moment when you're given a dialogue choice to be like, no, you need to go meet up with Amede and Krista at the train. Like, go save yourself and get out of here and get to the train. That's where your safety and salvation is. Like, he just never says it, which really frustrates me.
Well, that game didn't end how I wanted it to. I kind of wanted a 13-year-old kind of... Like, the 13-year-old in me just kind of wanted it to end a little differently.
Well, speaking of MacGuffins, that whole... The dude that was the antagonist in Episode 5 and who's been dogging you the entire time, what a freaking bunch of crap that was.
Yeah, that kind of was.
What a Tales from the Crypt wet fart or Twilight Zone piece of shit that was there. I was so annoyed.
Yeah, I guess they just had to come up with somebody who would... Like, hey, your decision in this episode, it affected this guy, apparently. And
oh,
he's
God,
gonna...
he was the man in the white room. He was the yeah. thing from The Matrix.
Yeah, the creator or whatever.
Yeah, that was just fucking... He could have not been there and it would have been the same thing.
Did you take these supplies out of the car or
nope.
no? I neither did I.
Nope.
So
I didn't, and that's part of the thing that really annoyed me is through the entire game, I was always honest, I was always telling everybody exactly what I was doing. I always sacrificed myself for the sake of everybody else in the group. And then you get to this last section and you're like, this is dumb, because if you've been listening to the conversation that's been going on, as you say you have been, and you can quote direct things that were said, then you would know that Lee is not a bad guy, even though you think he is. Okay, they're like, oh, then they just write that off by him being crazy. And you're like, well, he's crazy, so it doesn't matter anyway.
So did you kill the guy in the end?
Hell yeah.
Okay, I did too, and did you chop your arm off?
Fuck yeah.
Okay, I guess we kind of made the same decisions then.
Yep.
You guys are not making me want to play this game.
Yeah, chopped his arm off, which was good. I mean, that was a real good moment in the ending there of just that sawing. Ugh. But if you go alone, then you obviously won't be able to chop your arm off.
Yeah, see, that's a little difference. I mean,
was it like the original Saw?
But then the ending is the same, where it's like, oh, you're still infected. Even though you cut your arm off, you're still infected. So why
yeah,
did I cut my arm off?
Well, you don't know. They don't know. So you might as well try and see what happens. You know. So,
it's just
so he cuts his arm off with an infected blade.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Did he try to disinfect it?
Yep. Yeah. No, I don't know.
I don't think they had any...
It was surgical equipment, so...
I don't think they had any medical supplies. They just had a sharp... Something sharp.
Did he spit on it?
Yep.
I mean,
yeah.
Sure, why not?
That's the first thing they teach you, actually.
Yeah.
Rub it in the dirt.
Best disinfectant. You get cut, you should spit on it. That's why you know, suck on it.
Mm-hmm.
What are we talking about?
I have no idea.
Yeah, just spit on it and choke on it. And yeah. Just, you know.
Shake it, baby.
So would you play a second season
nope.
of this? No, you would not?
Nope.
Not going to get fooled again?
No. I mean, well, that's the thing. Like,
even
yeah,
though it was free.
It was, no.
It was not free.
No,
if it was
free,
you play
still
it?
No. The yeah. issue for me is not the price on it. It's just the amount of time that it took. No, not that I felt manipulated. Like, not like the experience was cheapened. Like, it's just my thoughts on it are more of like, I felt like the choices, what this game is being held up for is its choice, its ability to give player choice. And that was done really well, or at least giving the illusion of choice, done really well. Do I think it's like crazy revolutionary? Yes. But do I think it's a good game? No. You mm-hmm. know, I think Call of Duty Black Ops had a much more interesting player choice system, because at least it's wrapped around fun gameplay. At uh-huh. least I'm shooting dudes and mashing on buttons and blowing shit up. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, maybe you shouldn't have blown that thing up. And I'm like, maybe I shouldn't have. But in this game, it's like you get a little message on the top that it's like, everybody noticed you blew that thing up. And you're like, well, yeah. fuck, maybe I shouldn't have now.
Yeah, everybody so. Silently resents you.
Yeah.
That should be the real ending to that Robert Frost poem, actually. Is that, and I took the road less traveled by, and everybody resented me.
And I felt ever the douchier.
Everybody kind of thought I was a dick.
So... I was actually looking at my play clock, and for some reason, that game just must have drug on enormously to me, because like the first one I did in 2 hours, the second one I did in like 1 hour, the yep. third one I did in like 4 hours, and then the fourth one I spread out over the course of like a month, so I didn't even bother tracking that one. But I guess they felt a lot longer than they actually were, and there was some kind of tedious things there. And that was another piece of it, where it's like, you know, I'm really, really sick of zombie apocalypse crap, because you know what?
Oh, you're there too?
Yeah, well, yeah. It's just take the time machine back to 2008 when I felt this exact same goddamn way. Zombie apocalypse is not interesting anymore. And how come it's only the fucking craziest people in the world that survive the zombie apocalypse? It's like the Asperger's crazy assholes who survive, who have no social skills or are just completely self-serving.
Right.
Well, because they're the crazy people who stock up on everything and, you know, they're prepared for this event.
That's true. I don't know. If you watch reality TV, I'm really impressed with how many of those people exist. You know, because it's not like they're using the same people for all these reality television shows.
That's a good point.
They're just finding more crazy fucking people.
So you're telling me that
I suspect that a third of the population is like that.
At what point does reality TV not become reality TV? When are they actually being?
I don't know.
Laguna Beach.
It actually is quite
The Hills.
But
that's a really good point. I would never even thought of that. Like Teen Mom 2 and zombies.
I was just watching Kitchen Nightmares. Like,
so was I.
And that's a pretty raw. I mean, that's a less scripted reality show.
Mm-hmm.
And the American version is just everybody's batshit crazy.
Oh yeah.
Like, and he's fucking Gordon Ramsay. He's got like 3 Michelin stars, and he goes to this hometown cooking place, and she's like, "My food tastes good. Gordon Ramsay doesn't know anything." Like, really. Really, honey? Like, come on.
I think you and I watched the same episode.
You know what I'm talking about?
Is it the purple-yellow place with soul food and
blackberries?
Yeah, and
she just keeps crying. Like,
you should watch
nuts, and you're a real person, and there are more people like you. Like,
you should watch the Italian-American in Anaheim restaurant one. There's a crazy Italian woman on
there. And then you go to England, you watch the British one, and and first of all the restaurants are like 10 times higher caliber than... Mm-hmm. And he's going to like Applebee's.
It's not like
here.
Pop and Grab Slap Shop or something. Right. It's like a real restaurant.
There, nobody in the British version is missing teeth.
Well, what? Get out of here!
No, they all have. I mean, some of them are in weird places, but but they're all there. I can't believe we're talking about
president, and accounted for, but just.
I'm just saying,
not top of the class.
I think, especially in America, there's a significant portion of the population who is not, they're not living their life based on reality.
Okay.
So it's actually kind of
ironic that you call it reality television.
Yeah, it's not really real. It's
deep thoughts.
Wow.
Not for most Americans.
You know, for
even these people aren't operating in. It should be called perceived reality television.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that true TV, you know, true TV, everything is very true, is 99% not true. All scripted.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, used to be court TV, but then they had to, you know, get viewers, so they had to come up with stuff and copy other channels. But anyways, back to Walking Dead. I probably would play a season 2. You know, they say your saves are going to carry over and maybe choices you made will have an impact on that season, but I don't know. I don't play a lot of click and point, and I would actually pose a question to all of you. Is there something in video games that everyone is sick of, but you're not sick of, and that you could play from here to the end of time? And for me, it's like, I don't mind zombies at all. I could play any kind of zombie game, and you know, if they cranked out a new Assassin's Creed game every year, I would play it. I would not complain. Some people get fatigued.
That's
on it,
what I was going to say. I think the basic gameplay of Assassin's Creed, I never get tired of. Like, I can play the first one, and it's not boring. When there's none of the other crap, and it's just like, keep this next guy you assassinate, and then you assassinate another guy. Like, I'm down with that.
I would say, for me, any form of space combat.
Mm-hmm. You're done?
No, I will play it.
Everybody else is done.
But you think everybody
else
like,
is done. But
like, what's space combat? Like flying ships and shit?
Anything. Or? Just outer space, ships, aliens, whatever. I mean, it gets done a lot. I'm sure there's people that are tired of it, but not me.
I guess I'm in your same boat because I don't think there's enough space stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There should be more, like Prey 2.
Or even flight simulators in
Prey
general.
Prey
2. What?
There aren't enough flight simulators.
That's because there need only be one.
Well, okay. I used to play X-Wing versus TIE Fighter like crazy. Okay. Like, it doesn't have to be like an actual flight simulator. All it could be a spaceship flight simulator. Or, you know, I mean, I missed those games. They were good games.
Sure.
I've noticed anything I'm doing nowadays, TV shows, video games, it's always involving space. And
yeah.
I don't know why, but
A-10 Attack, A-10 Cuba.
What is that? Is that a hyper card
stack? Was another, that was that era of like, this is 3D, it's where everything's like triangles. But but you were really excited. And it was like one of the early flight simulators. I played A-10, which is like, you guys know what an A-10 is?
What is an A-10?
It's an anti-tank aircraft. So it's like low flying with really long wings, and then it's just got a giant fucking Gatling gun on the front of it that just like pierces tanks.
Oh, is that like the thing in the Expendables where they climb in the mouth of the plane and it shoots?
I have not seen that movie.
Well, you're better off.
Well, yeah, I decided not to support them with my money.
That's okay. You just eat what some is wrong Stallone with you? Pudding.
It's an amazing movie.
I've seen both.
But yes, I'm so sorry. No, the second one's better than the first.
No, it's like a two-part. It's a fighter plane, but it's not for fighting other planes. It's firefighting ground things. Anyway,
okay.
But like FA-18 Hornet. It's like a reverse bajillion of those like military flight sims that they don't exist anymore, and they were super good. It was fun. I miss them.
Well, as long as there's not a gamepad that takes 150 buttons to play, I'll play.
That's
anything.
True. I did have a joystick back then. Yeah, it was all on the computer, and
yeah,
but
it's always weird though, because then you're like, which is the best joystick that I should be using?
I tell you what, I got the joystick that my parents bought for me, and I was like, this is
perfect
because it's super free.
You didn't get a flight yoke?
No.
No.
Well, a flight yoke would have been inappropriate for what I was playing.
Weird,
because I was playing fighter planes.
Oh, you don't have a yoke in that?
They have a joystick.
Oh, I don't know. Sorry.
A flight.
See how little I know.
See, I don't even know what yolk is.
The yolk would be like a...
It's like the inside of an egg.
It looks like a bow tie, and you handle... Is that? Yeah, that's what, like it's what...
High in cholesterol.
What, like, commercial domestic planes have. Domestic.
It's like a steering wheel that doesn't have the top and the bottom circle. It's like...
That's what
just
a yolk
size.
Is called?
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, you know way more than I do.
I don't know how I would answer that question, dude. I would say I'm not tired of first-person shooters. I'm okay with there being more of those.
Okay, but you haven't played all of them out there. Because there are, I guarantee, way more out there than you even realize.
Sure, but I'm also not like, oh man, I hate that guy whose name is Follow in all those Call of Duty games. Like, fuck it. I'm all right with that.
Yeah.
I'm okay with... with a Fallout game that's set in the first perspective. I'm fine with Skyrim. I'm fine with, you know, they're all good. Like, I enjoy all those games. I like playing first person shooters. Like,
you know what I think there needs to be more of?
Okay.
Third person shooters.
I was going to say, I play Skyrim third person.
I think that they are equal in number.
No.
No.
How many third person shooters blockbusters of the year?
Resident Evil,
Hitman.
Gears of War. That is all.
Gears of War, Hitman.
This year was not a good year for TPS.
Well,
last year was pretty good, though. I mean, you had Gears of War and you had Uncharted 3. Uncharted 3, Gears of War 3. I mean,
yeah. I wish I could play that game.
This year it was kind of big for first-person shooters. You've got first-person shooters. You got Halo 4 and Call of Duty Black Ops 2. Mm. So, you know, it comes and goes. I think I'm fine with it, though. Like, I'm right there, man. Like, I'm not like, let's figure out a new, bring racing back.
Let's
bring
do
top
a new genre.
Strategy RPGs back. That's what needs to happen.
I do have
again.
Need for Speed, that newest one in the queue.
I plugged in my Need for Speed game not 5 days ago.
I try it. I'm not good at it.
The only reason that kept me coming back was the music is always good. Mm-hmm. It's always like fucking hardcore.
Like, wait, I don't
music.
Get to drive a Ferrari right away. Fuck this game. Like, I'm not gonna like work at it. No,
that's very true.
Don't want to do a bunch of boring ass.
If
races
they made like a
up.
Cruising, if they made like a Cruising USA where you just like it was like drive this sweet ass ride like right away, it would sell like incredibly well.
I don't think it would, like, because you get to drive everything right at the beginning, so it's like.
It wouldn't sell well with
maybe
people
for
who
the
buy
first time
games.
It would sell.
It would sell well with Andy.
It would sell well with people who don't have like people who don't like racing games right now would buy that game.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
I want to get in some fast shit and go.
I still don't like racing games. So I'm not going to really buy it.
Uh-huh. I think driving.
I haven't really tried one of these
racing
like current
games,
generation so. Ones.
Really? You'd rather IRL drive?
Yes.
Okay.
I consider that more.
I want more driving sims. Like
Gran Turismo?
No. Like a real sim. Like a flight sim, but for a car. Like
Gran Turismo is pretty close if you play it in first person.
I want harder.
Like,
I want harder.
How do you get harder?
Like cars actually damage and like fall apart as you crash. And...
Like you need to get into your car, buckle your seatbelt in, and
change your oil too. And
really,
fill it,
you want to do that?
What's
you
that?
Want
you,
that?
No, I don't want it. In flight I don't actually want that. But I'm saying like that exists for flight sim for like planes.
You have to buckle up, really?
But
I mean, you have to flip the switches.
Well, I'm
shit.
Saying like part of the switch flipping procedure in like a flight sim. Like what's the equivalent of that in a car? Like getting all
well,
safety
in
first.
A Ferrari is it would be like putting it in race mode.
I mean,
and,
I'm pretty
and,
sure I couldn't even open a door in a Ferrari.
And
clap on, and, right?
Yeah.
And doing the computer assisted start and like launch mode.
I mean, do they have autopilots yet for that shit? I don't.
Johnny Cab.
Okay.
I watch a lot of Top Gear.
But no,
Gran
Turismo's. Probably going to be the closest you're going to get to a driving simulator.
Which one is?
Gran Turismo.
Yeah.
Forza kind of has what I wanted, where you can like go outside the car and look at it.
I think
and
Forza
shit.
Is more interesting than Gran Turismo.
And it has commentary from the Top Gear guys.
Yeah.
I never played Forza.
But it's not like good commentary. Like it's not like he doesn't get on there and he's like, this engine is shit. Like it's all just mostly like benign, like, look at this stripey race thing they have here. That's delightful.
I like this paint job.
What's that funny. Racing game where you start out at a party at somebody's house by the pool?
That sounds like a Need for Speed.
Yeah, definitely Need for Speed.
I don't.
Oh God.
Need for Speed is basically a Fast and Furious
stunt man.
Which is
no,
the one
I can't remember.
I buy.
What it is.
Was it the Need for Speed that came out like last year? Like
this was like 3 years ago.
Most Wanted or whatever.
This is kind of old.
Yeah,
I can't remember
first,
what it was. It was ridiculous.
I wouldn't know.
That was I thought that was interesting because it was so bad.
It's cool to be bad.
It is.
Kart racing, man. I want sim kart racer.
No, because
load the shells. Where do you load the shells?
This just occurred to me. Like you can drive fast and race in real life. Like that's
I
why
cannot. My
I
car
can't
will
either.
Not do that.
You could if you really wanted to. Guarantee you could steal a car and go really
well,
fast.
Well, yes. I could steal a
you
car.
You could
also
that.
Shoot people, but I'm not going
to
do that.
I probably couldn't steal a car. I don't think I know how to do that. But
beat somebody up and
I kind of only know the end steps, not the beginning.
Can't hotwire. Anyway,
opening a door and
we are
driving.
Getting...
The driving part of it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The moving it from one location to the next.
Just ditch it, man.
It's the preamble that I wouldn't understand.
Well, we're going to try to steal your car later tonight.
That's
when...
true. We are going to try to do that.
Okay.
Anyone else playing anything?
Seriously. Oh, video games.
Right. I played more Hitman. That was
more
right.
of that?
Yeah.
More of dude, did you try to play it on the hard mode yet where you
don't
have anything?
No.
That's the one reason I would try to play that
it's
game.
It's like cheese wire.
No, I mean... Even just playing it on the regular mode, like, it becomes so frustrating to get through a level, like, undetected that I don't know if I'd even want to try it with no help.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like I said before, the feeling remains of when I finish a level, I just want to go immediately back to it and play that same level again. And the story is so trivial that it's like, I could totally do that and it would be fine. It could even fit into the canon as, like, Agent 47's going insane and, like, reliving the same moments over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. Some, like, purgatory of assassining.
Hitmanning.
Excuse me. That, yeah.
It's not a
hitting men.
No wrist blades involved.
That's about it, though, I think. I think that's all I played.
I'm really looking forward to that game, actually. Because I really like stealth games, and it's kind of a puzzle also.
I do
so.
Like stealth games. I've never played a Hitman game, ever.
I've played a couple.
It's good. I mean, it's good for what it is. It just doesn't. It doesn't have me like hooked.
I want the new Splinter Cell to be out now.
The black,
whatever
list?
The fuck. Yeah, whatever yeah. it is. The next one.
Sure.
Yeah. It's been too long. It's been almost like 6 years
since Conviction.
Yeah,
it's only been two.
What?
Yeah, it hasn't been that long.
Yep.
No.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Splinter Cell Conviction.
2 or 3 years. It's not six.
Yeah, that was out in...
I thought I played that like when we were living across 2010. The hall from each other.
2010 was Conviction. You might be thinking of Double Agent.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
That was an interesting game too, though. I kind of like that. So
this I played, Conviction kind of has I played some on of that. Wii. Some of that.
because gross. That's what I had at the time. I think we talked about this last time I was here. Yeah, not by choice.
Sure.
Not like, oh, I have an Xbox or I have a Wii. Oh, I should try the Wii version. Like, that's not the thing that happens.
Obviously, anywhere. The superior. Yeah. I don't know. I don't really have any other things we can talk about besides Bungie's stuff that got leaked. I don't know if you guys heard about this. Mm-hmm. Some advertising company that they're working with leaked some information about their new game called... We just mentioned it very briefly last week. Project Destiny.
But that doesn't mean anything. We just have a name now.
We have a name, kind of, and they repeatedly say over and over that they want it to be like Star Wars and that it's like generational, works for the family, is aspirational for kids and adults.
Has anybody played Old Republic, speaking of Star Wars?
Which one?
No, the like... MMORPG.
Online? Yeah.
No.
It looks like interesting.
It's not.
It's an MMORPG.
It's WoW.
Yeah.
With some interesting things
with
bolted onto
things
it.
Things and laser swords.
Not really. Not even that.
Really? Well, yeah. I do play WoW, or I did.
It's the story, the way that they tell the story is good. Very different from WoW. Feels a lot more single player, but it's still like, oh, this is not how I want to play a single player game where I have to run through this goddamn area and... You know, collect 10
right.
space gore tusk livers and bring them back to space old man. A farmer guy who needs to make a pie or something like that. Like
right.
it's the same thing.
Sounds like Thanksgiving to me.
And then there's somebody who's like, "Hey, this quest may be challenging. Do you want to work together?" And then I say, "Ugh." It's an MMO.
Yeah.
That's all right. You know.
All right, yeah.
Anyway, this
that's the
game
only news you got.
Well, there's other things we could talk about, but there's no real reason to.
Yeah.
There's little tidbits of news, but who really cares about those things? It's December. Nothing's going to happen.
Right. I don't think either has or is going to.
Yeah. Big releases come out now.
Nah. The only thing that's out is Far Cry 3.
Are you
done.
Excited for that?
Yeah. Definitely.
I was just reading. I've never played a Far Cry game, but then like we were talking about things that I'm tired of, and I'm just like, oh, I don't need to play this shooter. I don't think. What does it do differently from other shooters?
Far Cry 3?
Yeah, or Far Cry in general. Not the first one, which is apparently, from what I can gather, like completely different from 2.
2 is terrible.
It's like animal is...
Well, so Far Cry, if you want to give it a gimmick, it's a shooter... But it's non-linear, so it's like...
Oh, right, it's open world.
Yeah, instead of it being... Not open world in, like, GTA open world. Like, oh, in between killing these guys, I'm going to go...
Hunt some bears. Like,
well, I'm
like going
to deliver pizzas to bears. It's no, it's like, it's open
they
world.
Love
and that's
a big pepperoni. Hairy game.
It's different because you can say, like, okay, I need to kill this town of bandits, so how am I going to do it? I can do A, B, C, D, E, or F. Like, A is straight running, guns blazing. B is, like, I'll take a sniper spot and slowly pick everybody away. C is, like, I'll pull a boat up around the back and then, like, jump on this minigun and take everybody out. And then D is, like, well, I'll stealth into the village and kill everybody silently. And F is, like, well, I just won't do this mission. I'll just skip it and move on. And then, you know, everything, the choices... exist only within your tool set of killing.
Uh-huh.
But it's still like, it's not like a corridor that you have to run down and then it's like, okay, well, you've got this guy, this guy, and this guy. Right.
And
what order do you want to shoot them in? It's
yeah.
like, how do you want to approach this encounter? So in one, that was kind of just what they were doing there, and it was crazy zombie mutant island thing.
Two, I've never played Far Cry, but to me it sounds like Just Cause in first person.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you do your own crazy nonsense. If you could drive a truck right into the middle of their camp and run everybody over and jump out and kill everybody. Two, they had made fire, so you could, like, start a fire outside of a village, and it would burn all the way through the village based on the wind and kill everybody. And then guns jammed and exploded if they were too old, and you had malaria.
Instead of tiger powers.
Yeah, and now in three, you've got...
Oh, we got tiger powers dinosaur come back? Hunting right
yeah,
here?
You've got tiger powers.
Okay, good.
You've got the ability to be a douche, mostly. You're like a little douche kid. And you have douche. A tattoo, and you level up your character by getting new tattoos.
Is the tutorial for this game
just like real life, right?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen with somebody with a lot of tattoos?
Tattoo.
Way higher level.
Do they give douche training? Epic.
No,
tutorial?
No, the douche is already there, 100%.
You'll see that
the game.
In the intro movie.
Okay, so what makes Far Cry 3 really cool is there's a crafting system, like an RPG-ass crafting system, where it's like I kill bears and shit and get their skin, and then I make them into a different gun sling so I can carry more guns. It's
interesting.
Like, you're doing Assassin's Creed-style climbing of shit. To expand the map and get new missions, but in first person, and there's hang gliders.
That just gave me a really
like
good idea.
Sounds like Fallout.
Yeah, it's kind of like Fallout.
When are we going to get a game, like shooter game, with a really in-depth gun creating system? Like, I'm talking like in-depth create... Like thousands of
like
weapons.
In depth like gummy bear ship from like that like to the point of stupid
like Banjo Kazooie nuts and bolts so you can just make it not work where you're like I made this gun look like a dick and it shoots right back in my face.
No, that's not what I'm looking for, not one bit.
Because okay, like I don't. Why do you want to create your own?
Yeah, because the guns we have work pretty good,
right? Like, what else do you want to do to your guns?
Where else are you going to take a first-person shooter RPG game? Like Borderlands, they come up with some crazy shit. All the shit looks the same, but they all have different firing powers. And, like, just think about the possibilities from having a stock to, like, the finder or just everything and everything.
See,
that'd be annoying to be.
I kind of don't want that ability to be able to craft my own because I feel like I'll get... hold into like I'm like okay now I have this really good stock, I have this really good firing pin and this awesome stabilizing handle, and now what's the point in getting anything else because I already have my perfect loadout.
That's
why
the
do
point
I need
of the
to
game
get
you know?
It sounds like
it's an RPG. There's
like
always
it
would, something
it would
to
turn
get
into
better.
An MMO where you're like grinding
right,
for
right.
grinding for these stocks
right,
or whatever
the stock of the bear that has more wisdom to
yeah.
it like great sweet
so you wouldn't play it. Is that
well,
what you're saying?
No.
If that was in a first-person shooter,
no.
like you wouldn't play that.
I mean, there's been games that have tried to do that, like Army of Two, 40th Day, where you can upgrade your guns and give them
yeah,
different
Yeah, that's
abilities.
Upgrading. I'm talking straight up making your own guns from start to finish.
Okay, you can do that. Let's say you can do that in 40th Day. Like you start with a base model, then you can strap enough shit onto it that it's a different gun, does different things.
Yeah.
Still shoots bullets.
Was that not fun?
No. It was
not
fun.
Bit?
No. Because you find the thing where you're like, this is the best solution to the problem that I'm given.
Okay, so you make it like Final Fantasy 13 where the best solution you can possibly get is miles away. Like, you know.
I don't think the best solution
that's
is
not,
ever Final Fantasy 13.
No, it's not, honestly. But I'm just brainstorming right here. Why is that game not created? Like... I feel like that is a road that should be traveled.
Well, I think there's been a lot of games that have tried to make a really comprehensive gun crafting system. Do you remember that Kinect, that game that was showcased for Kinect, the Gears of Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Future Soldier?
Uh-huh.
Where mm-hmm. you could expand by flinging your arms open using the Kinect and like spin through your wheel of gun accessories and craft your gun from the inside out.
Never got
out
to see
and,
it firsthand, but
and that game was a steaming pile of uninteresting.
So I'm thinking in my mind, like Borderlands, just like where the guns are the centerpiece of the game, you know?
Okay.
And
so you're a gun. Your name is Gun.
You are a gun. You don't even have a human, like,
but not the gun
whatever.
Franchise. Not the game.
Are you a
gun
holding another
not
gun?
Black or a gun. Yes.
So, see, Black 2, that could be what you get right there.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know why. I guarantee this game could be made and could be made fun. And
but
it should
I
be.
Don't think you should. I don't think you can guarantee that it's fun.
Yeah, because...
I think you can
it
guarantee
could be.
That it
I didn't
exists.
Say it should.
I don't think that
could.
Gun crafting is going to be your core mechanic that's going to, like, you're like, okay, we start here at the central universe of gun crafting, and then we build a game around it.
Okay, but, like, in a first-person shooter, like, uh-huh. like basically all you're doing is shooting.
Uh-huh.
You know? So, yeah, maybe it's not your main mechanic, but why not throw it in there and do it well?
Oh, yeah. That'd be great.
That's what I'm saying. Why is that not there yet?
Because I don't think... okay, this is why I don't want it. Because it already exists for what it needs to be. Like, it's like you have enough options in most games to customize your gun into a way that you want to use it. Do I need to have 0.5 percentage more accuracy instead of 0.4 percentage more accuracy at the penalty of... negative 2.5 reload speed instead of 3.5 reload speed? Like, does that...
That intrigues me.
...really yeah. matter?
It becomes spreadsheets really quickly.
Yeah, like you're playing EVE Online, the first-person shooter. Which
so, I guess, which is fine for people
I already
who
play that this
WoW
year and it's garbage.
Play, I've even seen spreadsheets for, like, SimCity Social. But, I mean, there are people who take every game, like, really seriously. But those are not most people.
Yeah.
In my, I don't know. Go for it, dude.
I'm just saying, why is this not here?
Call, you know,
I think it's a game I'd be excited for.
Peter Molyneux.
You should look up the Charles Barkley or Barkley 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I probably
that's
will.
Part of that game. An intricate gun crafting system is one of the bullet points on their Kickstarter page. Funny you bring that up, Ryan.
Done well.
Yeah. Yep.
Not
fuck
like
you,
that other
Dunwill
shitty gun crafting
for true
that we've seen.
Doom murder heads. End quote.
I think I would probably play your game, Ryan. This I understand where you're coming
shut
from.
Shut up, you suck up.
I think you just need more interesting weapons. I think there was a game called Armin Dangerous for the Xbox. I think you had like a shark gun where you shoot somebody and a shark comes out of the ground and eats somebody.
That's fucking awesome.
That's like, what you need. You need
absurd. Ratchet and Clank?
No.
No,
I think it's called Armed and Dangerous. It's for the Xbox. I think it's called Armed and Dangerous.
It's not Ratchet and Clank.
No, it's not. Dangerous? No, okay. But games need more and Bulletstorm was kind of going there with like you being able
yes,
to whip people and kick
good.
People and
yes.
kill people different kinds of ways and getting points for that. I thought that was really interesting, and the fact that game didn't sell well is a crime.
Yep,
that game
it was
awesome.
Amazing game.
But I think games just need better weapons. You know, N64 games had better weapons than current games do, and that's kind of sad.
Yeah, that's true. Perfect Dark. I like those guns.
Like Turok had the cerebral bore. That was a cool weapon. You know, you shoot off a thing, it grabs somebody by the head and sucks their brain out. I thought that was cool.
I mean, like the Far Sight,
fucking awesome.
Yeah.
X-ray gun,
laptop gun.
Yep,
that's my favorite.
It's a, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Guns, man, they're good in games.
What happened to the secondary option? That went away when it went away with the N64.
It went away with the melee button.
Yeah,
when you didn't need to turn your gun to secondary function to melee.
Man,
when you didn't.
Well, it went away with Perfect Dark 2. What happened?
Oh, I didn't play that game.
I didn't either.
Perfect. Yeah, I was gonna say
that's why it went away.
You know where it's at? Because I would love to borrow.
No.
Perfect Dark Zero, I think is that what it was called? Shit, I don't know. It was like a release game.
Yeah, that's what.
Yeah,
called.
That was for the N60.
No, it was for the 360.
Launch game for 360.
It's not that
good. It was a pile of poop.
And I heard it was not good. Which is bad. That's too bad.
No, I played it. The only thing that was actually fun was like it was at
the gun
time,
crafting system.
You know what? Fuck you. There's gonna be a game that comes out, and I'm gonna be like, I told you so, motherfucker.
Yeah, probably. That's probably true.
Yeah.
Be like, oh, you know what I really like about Dead Space 3? The gun crafting system.
Dead
which
Space
is
could...
a part of Dead Space 3. It's just I've read about the gun crafting system. It sounds pretty good.
They could do that. They, that would work.
Yep.
I want to split my, you know, zombie aliens horizontally instead of...
That is actually one of the things...
No, I know.
Yeah, okay, you're aware. Yeah. I want to put a flamethrower on the bottom of my plasma cutter, but I want to make my flamethrower shoot in a really tiny controlled burst.
Right, yeah.
So it's more like a flame welder.
To cut a V-shape through them. Like,
so I am not the only person wanting this, all right? So
it seems like you want like a rich man's anarchist cookbook where like you're just taking everyday items and making a weapon out of
it. And then you give them to somebody who like, make this weapon for me, poor person.
Yeah.
And why could that not work?
It could work. I would play your game. I think that could be, I think the only problem is there's a lot of variables in like how do all these things affect this one gun and how do they affect everything in the environment and
yeah.
You just need to get a hold of like the gun editor for Borderlands. And you'll be good.
Yeah.
Just
there you go.
Get a hold of that. Find somebody who has a PC who's got that gun cracker. And I mean that's the next logical step for Borderlands, right? Is to give you the ability to modify your guns.
Yeah.
That's the big leap into controlling your experience. Is like now you can not only just find awesome weapons, but you can craft or add on or change an already existing awesome weapon to make it more awesome. Yeah.
In which, again, there is already, tens of thousands of guns.
Add
one variable to that gun, and it already does that many more, like, variable. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Word.
You should be able to build, like, really big guns, like guns that are, like, 10 stories high.
I feel like really big guns is a good step.
And you're, like, 2 feet high, but you're carrying this weapon.
I feel like really big guns is a good name for a band.
Or a video game. Just like shit.
I feel like really big guns is good any way you
there
put
was
it.
That not happened yet? There was a Duke Nukem sequel.
Painkiller, actually. Funny you say that. Painkiller, wasn't that? That weird 2D game. It was like
2D
a side-scroller.
2D painkiller?
Yeah, and it was like...
Thinking of Serious Sam 2D?
Serious Sam, yep. 2D? Yeah.
Okay.
And you could stack guns on guns where you ended up eventually having this like skyscraper of guns.
Yeah, that's right. See, that's cool. I like that idea.
Yeah, I like big, dumb.
Is it really cool? Like,
no, it is.
It kind of is. I saw it.
Oh, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
There's an Inception joke in that game.
Yeah, that was the one that was trying to be like Final Fantasy 6 or 5 or whatever, right? Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah,
Final Fantasy 65. That was a good one.
That was my favorite.
65, yeah.
It was my favorite.
6.5.
It was my favorite Final Fantasy of the future. I don't know if there's anything else to talk about this week, guys.
That's fine with me.
It's been good.
I was going to... Ryan, I'm sure you... Did you bring trivia?
Trivia? Oh.
Yeah. Okay, anyway.
No, I got it.
You got it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to forget.
Yeah, I figured. But okay. No, I got it.
Okay.
Are we going there now?
Sure. Unless... the only thing I was going to say is last week we talked briefly about doing this every other week instead of every week. Andy, does that sound at all interesting to you?
That would be better for me, since that's kind of what's happening to me anyway.
Yeah, and then in the weeks where we're not meeting for podcasts, we could do videos.
Oh, so, I like that.
Yeah. I think we should do that, and then just more, you know, planning here on the air is, I don't know if we're going to do one more podcast next week and then be done for the year, or if we'll just call it here after this one and then meet up for one last Game of the Year one, like in the end of December.
Uh-huh.
Because VGAs are this week, so may want to talk after
what
this
day week. Is it?
Friday. Come on over. Watch VGAs.
Are we going to do that? Okay.
So, you guys want to, maybe we'll do a podcast on Tuesday after that, maybe not, we'll see, and then we'll definitely meet up at the end of the year for Game of the Year stuff, or maybe even in January, who knows. So,
okay.
We might go dark after this, just saying.
Could be perfect.
This could be the last one, guys.
Yeah.
So, you guys ready for this trivia?
Should we write these down?
Ready for this jelly?
Is this Mega Man trivia? Was that last week?
It should be, but no. Okay, so we're on episode 101, so I decided to go back to the basics.
Oh, good call.
Yeah, so I guarantee each of you has played at least 90% of these games, or it's major video game franchises.
Do we need paper?
Sure.
Probably, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I'm slow on the trigger.
Oh, well, this is a game you're going to need to be quick on the trigger, because I guarantee everyone knows the answers to all of them. It's just how quick
this
are you going to get there.
This is more fun than not knowing the answers.
I think I'm going to upgrade my trigger to fast trigger.
I'll keep the score here.
My trigger is going to be bigger than all of yours.
You're not black.
How many freaking
I just need
pages
one piece of paper
need?
With
Jesus
one pen
Christ.
And we're good here.
Oh, we only need... Okay, he's
so
writing.
So we're not going to write it down?
No, you guys are calling in.
Oh, well, we all have paper anyway, so yeah. There you go.
You don't need paper. You guys are just holding it for fun right now.
Yes, hello?
Yes, I think C.
This is dog.
I'm going to lose because it'll be too slow.
So we're going to buzz in with our names and say our answer.
Can't we just go make buzzer noise?
Sure. You can make
you
whatever
know, with
noise
these
you want.
Games,
or quack.
You could buzz in and not even know the answer, and with the next few words, you may get it. So we all ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
All right. Yes. Number one. This game was first on Nintendo, has 15 official games and several spin-offs. A high fantasy action adventure game following an infamous central
buzzer. I was buzzing in.
Oh, that was you?
Yeah, I got the tequila horn.
Oh. Yes?
Final Fantasy.
No.
Oh.
Following an infamous central character who more than often is wearing green on his way to save the princess.
Oh.
Matt. Well, the game series is Zelda. The character's name is...
Full name of original
Legend
game.
Of Zelda.
There you go. We good?
Everyone get it now? Yes, that
you said
was
oh.
Fair. Well, I knew the answer, but he got there first. That's how the game show works. Work, you know.
All right. Number two first appeared on the PlayStation. Follows many characters throughout the series after an evil corporation unleashes a deadly virus. One of the original.
Matt.
Resident
Evil.
You said I. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's take it. Just take
Resident
it.
Evil.
Yeah. All right. All right. Number three. This is the first appeared on the Sega Genesis. Follows a speedy rodent on
Sonic the Hedgehog. Yep.
There's only one Sega Genesis game. Let's be honest. Maybe Altered
Man?
Beast, sort of.
Fuck Altered Beast.
Fantasy Star.
All right. This game was first on the Xbox. Most games focus on a central super soldier who saves the world.
Halo. Yeah.
Matt, what is with this?
he's grifting us. Is what
Mister, you're not quick on the
not
trigger.
Not fast enough shark. To do this.
Yeah. All right, this game was first on arcade, like the arcade. The first game didn't achieve.
Whoa!
I'm just gonna say Mortal Kombat.
No.
Okay.
Andy.
Good.
Super Mario Brothers.
No.
Putting your balls on the line there, man.
Yep, I was.
All right.
I'll play. Street Fighter.
Yep.
Damn it.
Ah.
All right, so it's Matt 3, Griff 1, Andy 1. Here we go. You guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
First appeared on Nintendo. It's-a-me.
Matt.
Ah, son of a bitch.
Mario.
Full name, please.
Ooh.
Mario Brothers. Super Mario Brothers. No,
all
it's not.
Right. Okay. It's there in the end.
You got one word every time. One more word.
Well,
Super Mario Bros.
Yeah, period. Okay.
Was Mario Brothers first?
Mario Brothers was the arcade game where you were
The turtles and the tubes.
Coming out of the tubes, yeah.
Yeah, was that first?
Yes.
So he was right the second time.
Okay.
So, I don't know.
But Ryan was asking about the NES.
Gotcha, you're right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
those
this
VidCons.
Game first appeared on the Nintendo Entertainment System. Each game in the main series takes place in a different fictional universe.
Final Fantasy.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. First game was on the MSX2.
Matt.
Griff.
It's Metal Gear.
Yep.
Good one, Matt. Metal Gear.
All right. Here we go. First game appeared on the PC, which later was on consoles and handhelds. Has many different developers published by Activision. First games were World War II based.
Call of Duty.
Yep. Good at
Matt,
this, Matt.
You're destroying. Like
I know my games a little bit.
All right.
Matt is a master.
This next one was first on the PC, followed by PlayStation shortly after. Game that makes being bad fun. Open world game.
Grand Theft Auto.
Yep. And that is it. I do have honorable mentions. I was going to do if it was a tie, but Matt.
It's not. Kinda,
Matt crushed it.
Yeah, he
the
crushed
tie
it.
Is not what it is.
Green shirt nice of job. Power, Matt Lake.
Yes.
Nicely done, sir. That is trivia for the week.
Awesome, man. That was good. 101 classic stuff. Everybody, that was good. Competitive.
Back to the basics.
That's all I had planned this week. I was going to kind of talk about Game of the Year stuff, if you guys were at all interested. Just getting your perspective. I know you guys haven't played a ton of games this year, so I figured we'd probably wait to do a podcast until maybe January or something, until after the holidays. You guys have some more time to play, and we could all catch up. And,
I like that.
Yeah, but, you know, I think it'll be all right.
I probably won't be back until like the second or third week of January.
That's fine.
So,
yeah, we didn't start podcasting this year until March. So,
and I believe I'll be bringing my consoles.
Whoa!
So, and my TV. So.
Son what? Of a bitch!
Why are you
games.
Doing
so
this?
So you will what? Have things because
I have an addiction. I don't know. Went too long.
Oh, that'll be good.
So if we wait, that'll be fine. We'll do a big year end discussion starting at the beginning of the new year. And I think in the meantime, we'll just do a bunch of videos, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Videos are good. I like that.
Great. And then I was going to ask you guys, since it is getting to the end of the year, do a little round robin thing everybody can answer a question of like, what is the one biggest game of this year that you one or two, you know, whatever you need to, whatever works for you. I'm here for you. What do you want to play the most for this year? And then what are you most anticipating of next year?
I'll go. I want to play a very intricate gun creating game.
That, shut up. Just get the hell out of here. Take your elevator pitch.
No, Transformers by far.
Really?
I want to play that game.
Wow.
Well, I absolutely love the first one, and I want to play the second one. That's my one that I have missed.
That's the one that got away?
Yep. Let it go, and I could probably go get it for about $20, but I just haven't.
What about next year?
Give me something to work with here.
Dead Space, Tomb Raider, BioShock.
I missed
Devil
Dead Space
May 2. Cry.
And that's another one that I really want to play. Probably Devil May Cry.
Lost Planet 3?
No. That game
those
lost
games are so
me.
Boring.
No, the first one was amazing. Second one, garbage.
I'm not interested in those games.
But Devil May Cry, yeah. I'll go with that one.
I'm interested to
see
what
that's like January,
it.
So have fun with that.
I'm probably going to play it.
It's coming
up
soon.
I've played every single one to the T. And the achievements on that game are so incredibly hard to get. Like, you have to be a Japanese super kid to get some of those achievements.
It's racist.
I think that's one of the
that's
achievements,
you
actually,
could be
is the racist.
You could be Korean, too.
It's not racist if you believe that Japanese people are better than you.
Well, when you look at the leaderboards and every single person on there
let's
is...
just say Asian. I mean,
okay.
East Asian.
Yeah,
we'll go with that.
Korea,
Russian.
Some parts of China. They're pretty good.
For some Northern reason, Asia. Their Twitch is
not
a lot
America,
better than
is what
mine.
We're saying. It's just not us. We're horrible people, as evidenced by Gordon Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares. I think to be honest, my most anticipated game of this year was World of Warcraft, Mystic Pandaria. And I did not play it. Like it turns out, I think I've just aged out. But I was really into that game for a couple years. And so I was looking forward to the new one. And then I didn't really play it. I bought it like first day.
How
oh,
often
take that
did
back.
They come out?
Scratch that. Diablo 3 was what I was, what I most anticipated game.
And that you haven't played? That you
no, I was in the beta. Like, I played the shit out of that game.
You've actually
I scratched
played it.
My yeah. answer, and I agree with you. Diablo 3, definitely.
That was what I was most looking forward to this year.
Mm-hmm. You played it, though.
Are we? Do we have to talk about games that I didn't play?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because we can talk about games that you played that you were thought were really awesome. Like
I didn't
in
think it was really awesome. I was just really looking forward to it.
I didn't think it was really
awesome. If I were to ever buy a PC, it'd be because of Diablo 3 and StarCraft 2. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason I would ever buy a PC.
It's a pretty good reason.
Yeah, it's good. Do I want to spend $1,000?
That I haven't played. I guess Halo, probably. I still haven't got to Halo. You should just lend me that game.
We can do that tonight.
There was nothing this year that I super cared about. I'm sure I'm forgetting something. But
probably,
but I've never... I've always been stuck with a bunch of franchises. I didn't start Transformers, and so I haven't kept up. The same thing with Gears of War. I just never got through Gears of War.
If you want to play the first one, it's a great game.
Maybe I will. Yeah. I've got lots of work to do. So yeah, we'll just say Halo.
I'm
looking forward to probably BioShock.
Ooh, yeah. BioShock Infinite.
BioShock Infinite, I think.
When's that coming out?
Allegedly in like the first quarter.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
May right. Their new hot so cosplay September? Lady would say somewhere in Jennifer.
Somewhere in the beginning of the year.
April, May.
Like in a year.
Yeah. Q1/2.
What about you, Matt?
Game I'm looking forward to the most to play from this year is probably Dishonored/Far Cry 3. And a game I'm looking forward to the most for next year would probably be BioShock Infinite.
Yeah, it's a good one.
It's funny you bring up Dishonored because I remember we asked this question like maybe 3 or 4 months ago, and my answer at the time was Dishonored 2 because it's like, oh, it's new, it's cool looking, like it's magic stealth guy.
Yep.
Different, but nope. That's a bummer.
I think I'll enjoy it more than you will.
Probably. I'm sure you will. Far Cry 3, that's a good answer. I have watched the endings for Far Cry 3.
Why?
Just because it's games he knows he's not going to play all the way through.
I couldn't handle myself after
You wanted to see if he comes out of the Animus?
My speculation boner went so turgid that I couldn't do anything but watch those endings. And it's not how you want
to get together again and they just go, yeah, party! More shots and jumping out of airplanes. And
that would be like good. That would be a better ending than this. This ending is like the ending that you don't want.
Oh,
like where you're like,
great.
Just everybody dies.
That would be a good ending too.
That'd be good because they're all douchebags. So.
Right. Okay, let me just tell you, the way that the game is being advertised is like, I used to be a party bro, man, but now I gotta rise to the occasion to save my bro friends. Can I do it? Spoilers, at the end of the game, he does it. Or he doesn't.
He does or doesn't.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Oof. Yeah.
It's not anything awesome, like you wake up and you're in a Total Recall booth.
Well, you haven't sold me, sir.
Yeah. Okay, whatever. The only game that I still want to play this year that I am able to play is Dead or Alive 5.
Really?
Yep, that's it.
That's it.
You just want to see those characters in bikinis, that's why.
Yep, I want to see those fluttering boobies.
That's why.
What about next year?
Next year, I mean, you guys already crapped on it, but it's Lost Planet 3.
Really?
Really?
I'm ready to...
The second one...
Oh, why? Like, the second
I'm ready
one
to,
was garbage.
To
I
lose,
know you agree.
To lose again.
I know you agree the second one was garbage. Is the third one going back to number one's roots? Or
No, it's going to none of its roots. I mean,
different,
it's different.
So it's not based on just like massive
it looks like
set battles?
It probably is going to have massive
right?
set piece
that's
battles.
That's what Lost Planet is, right? It's just interspersed things between giant monsters.
That's how number two was.
Ah.
Lost Planet is Monster Hunter,
uh-huh.
but with guns.
Right.
And I like Monster Hunter. But I hated the mechanics of moving around, level design and storytelling,
mm-hmm.
and pretty much everything about Lost Planet 2 that wasn't the premise.
Right.
And they went away from suits.
Whatever. That, I don't give a shit about that.
That's what the first one was, though.
It wasn't called Suits. It was about a planet that couldn't be found.
Yeah, that you had to wear suits to succeed.
I'm just interested in this because it seems like it's taking more of a Dead Space route where things become like a little bit more confined, horrific, solitary. Like instead of the massive multiplayer world of you running around and gunning down gigantic
things,
like Godzilla monsters, like you're fighting big Godzilla monsters, but it's just you, and you're using your giant weird like big O mech to fight it. Sounds kind of cool.
So it was like the first couple.
But then
the most anticipated game of next year
okay. For
you sounds kind of cool.
Like, that's the place I'm in my life right now, really. Okay, so then I guess I could say my other choice is Metal Gear Solid Rising Revenge.
Yes, that's true. I forgot about that.
I'm excited for that because I've never played a Metal Gear game.
Yeah, part of the reason why it's not that high up on my radar is because I know I'm going to play it and I am going to like it. For just the sheer
novelty of it. Is that the first one that's
going
to be on Xbox?
Yeah.
No.
They came out with...
Is there another one?
Metal Gear Solid 2 Sons of Liberty Substance was a weird port to the Xbox.
I felt like that's not where I wanted to start my Metal Gear franchise.
Dude, you could play a Tony Hawk-style skateboarding game in that. Mm-hmm.
In which case, I might like it.
Yeah. I don't know. Anything else you guys want to talk about before we go? No. All right. Well, I guess that is going to be it for this year in 2012. Maybe we might see you again next week or the week after, or maybe the week after that. December's a long month, I think.
Stay tuned.
You know, we should probably come back one more time before the end of the year.
Oh, yeah. Good call. We'll come back one more time to do sort of like a year-end roundup as to... Maybe a little more of this, of talk about what you guys should play. I'll give you some pointers based on what I've done. And you can talk about other stuff like VGAs at the end of this week. And
awesome games involving a bunch of gun compartments and crafting.
Yeah. So thanks again for listening. This has been Boss Bro Radio, episode 101. Happy New Year. Or not.
Play some video games.
Damn it.